Let's just get right into it. 1 John chapter 2.
We'll announce it afterwards.
Okay, I want to tell you guys, I thought you all in your groups last week did a really good job of doing an overview of what we've learned in John. I hope you guys went home and applied it in your lives and are applying it in your lives. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We worship you. We thank you for everything you've done for us, Father, for giving us life, for saving us, for giving us homes to live in, Father, for food to eat, but most importantly, for our salvation, that you would choose to save a people like us, Lord. We thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you for the next breath that we have, Lord. Father, I pray that as we open up your word tonight, Lord, that you would bring about your purposes in our lives, Lord, that your word would do what it wants in our lives, that it would change us, that it would convict us, Lord, that it would bring us to our knees before a holy and just God, that we would desire to live lives that are pleasing to you, Father. So we pray, Father, do your work in us, Lord. Thanks for the opportunity of letting us come together and share in fellowship and open up your precious holy word. May you have your blessings upon the word. In Jesus' holy name. Okay, so it's been a couple weeks. Tonight we'll be on 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. But why don't we start back at, let's just go back to verse 12, and then we'll start from there. 1 John chapter 2, we'll start in verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And now to our verses, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Okay. So John is continuing on here. He singles out the little children, fathers, young men. Then he goes on to talk about how we are to not love the world or the things in the world. Okay, and we talked about that at length. Now he goes right on here and he says, little children. Okay, and here it's the paedion, children, paedion, little paedion, children. And it's neuter, diminutive. Okay, it's a child of either sex, a half-grown boy or girl, figuratively an immature Christian. Okay, and he says, little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Okay, so why do you think he would single out little children here in this case? Little children, is the last hour, as you have heard that Antichrist is coming. Don?
Because by being little children, they have little experience in the Word, and thus they could probably be easily tempted.
Okay. That's what I'm looking for. They could be, you know, if they're young Christians, they're immature, you know, they have much growing to do, but they're still very young, immature Christians. Okay? So it might be that they're more, you know, they're more prone to being deceived. You know, if someone comes in and starts preaching something that's not what John's preaching or one of the other apostles, and this young, immature Christian might say, hey, you know, that sounds right, you know. As Paul warns, you know, watch out for men who have persuasive words, you know. So some of these young, immature Christians might fall for that stuff. Okay, so it might be here that he's giving them a warning here, okay. So little children, it is the last time, okay, which is ora, and that's where we get hour from, okay. And it means apparently a primary word, an hour, literally or figuratively, day, hour, instant, season, eventide or high time. Okay. And it is referring here, little children, is the last hour. It is referring here to the time between the cross and the second coming of Christ. Okay, again, it is the last time, last hour. It's referring here between the time between the cross, Jesus dying on the cross, and his second coming. Okay? Barnes adds to this. It is the last time. The closing period or dispensation. That dispensation in which the affairs of the world are ultimately to be wound up. The apostle does not, however, say that the end of the world would soon occur. Nor does he intimate how long this dispensation would be. That period might continue through many ages or centuries, which obviously have. You know, here we are sometime later. Okay, and it is still the last time. Okay. That period might continue through many ages or centuries and still be the last dispensation, or that in which the affairs of the world would be finally closed. And the word last here could also carry the sense of urgency. Okay? So John's saying it's the last time. Okay? And this is almost a calling for, hey, whether it's going to be next week or 2,000 years from now or whatever, okay, a Christian should always be growing, maturing, and be ready. Be ready for what? Well, number one, yes, be ready for Christ's coming, but for whatever comes our way in teaching. Okay, because he's just about to tell us that, hey, that Antichrist is coming, and many are already here. Okay, we must be mature. We must be growing in the Lord. Okay, we can't be just, you know, I come to church, I don't really do much studying, and then someone else is going to come out here and start teaching this gospel, supposedly, and we fall to it because we don't know the Word of God. Okay, so, hey, it's urgent. Okay, be prepared. Okay, you have heard that Antichrist is coming. Now, the New King James says the, but the original omits the. So, you have heard that Antichrist is coming. Okay? Antichrist means an opponent of the Messiah. To be against. Okay? So, it's opponent of who? Of Christ. He's against Christ. Okay? Here it is a proper name. It refers to the coming final world ruler energized by Satan, who will seek to replace and oppose the true Christ. Okay? Now, opponent means an adversary. Okay, everyone know what an adversary is? Okay, it's one that contends with. Okay, you know, if I have an opponent, if you know, there's boxing, if you're in a boxing match, he's my adversary. I'm contending with this guy. Okay? So the Antichrist is the opponent of Christ. They're contending with one another. He's against Christ. The enemy. Then John goes on to say that many Antichrists have come. Okay? That Antichrist is coming. And even now, he says, many Antichrists have come. Why do you think he's telling them that? Anyone want to take a shot at that?
To warn them,
yes.
Because What else?
So that they'll be prepared and alert to pay attention to what is going on around them and to listen to the teaching that they're being taught.
Bingo. Because there's many, you have the Gnostics out there, okay, teaching all the stuff that is not lining up the Word of God. And so he says, hey, the Antichrist is coming, but never mind that. Antichrists are here now. And he's, you know, teaching down the street or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so we must be in the Word of God. You must be able to discern what you are hearing. You guys listening? We've got to be able to discern what we are hearing. We cannot fall to the every, you know, wind of doctrine tossed here and there. That can't be, you can't let that happen to yourselves. We've got to discern what's being taught. Okay, so many antichrists have come. This is plural, obviously. They have come and are here, okay, and they are ones, many, who oppose, who are against Christ. They're against God. So, we might have this question then, okay? How do we know who an antichrist is? James? How can we know who is an antichrist?
Their teaching doesn't line up with the Word.
Teaching doesn't line up the Word, okay. What else?
Their actions.
Their actions, okay. So we obviously can know by their fruit, okay. Well, let's look just a couple of verses ahead. Look at verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So what is it saying here? Number one, if we deny that Jesus is the Christ, liar, and you deny the Father and the Son, that is Antichrist. So, do you guys think that there's antichrists out there today?
Yeah.
Right now among
sure.
us? Absolutely. So, when John says to, hey, be prepared, you know, it's urgent, you know, be studying, you know what you're hearing, do you think that applies to us today?
Yeah.
Absolutely it does. Absolutely. Because soon, I don't know how soon, but the Antichrist is coming. And there are many here today, as John said.
Paul also warns that in the church, from within the church itself, the savage wolves are going to rise up to lead astray many after them. And anyone, of course, who's looking for people to follow them is not under the headship of Christ. But rather they're looking to lead people away from the truth for their own gain, for whatever it is that their agenda is. And they're going to rise up from within the church. And they're going to look like church people. They're going to have all the talk down. They're going to sound like they're teaching the truth. And unless you know your truth, it's pretty easy to be led astray,
right,
and to be deceived.
Right. Good point. In fact, we're going to get into that here in a second. Okay, so again, look at verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denies, if you deny that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Okay? Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5 says this. And Jesus answered and said to them, his disciples, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Christ is warning his disciples. He's saying, hey, take heed, listen to what I'm saying. Do not be deceived. Do not let anyone deceive you. Well, how can you not let yourself be deceived? In other words, if I tell you, Sammy, do not let anyone deceive you, what are you going to do to make sure that you're not deceived?
Study God's Word more.
Study God's Word more.
Know God's Word.
Know God's Word. That it's right here in your hearts. Because I can tell you, make sure no one deceives you. Yeah, okay, no problem, Brandon. I'll make sure. You know, back playing games, whatever, you know. Okay? But he's warning his disciples here. Because listen, he says, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And he says, and they will deceive many. Not might, but will deceive many. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. So these antichrists, these false prophets, they're bringing upon themselves a destruction. 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Okay, again, so are you confused? You don't know what an antichrist is? Listen to this verse. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, and they do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. This is one who's going to be saying, hey, Jesus didn't come in the flesh. He didn't become a man. He didn't die on the cross. Well, this is saying, hey, that person is a deceiver and an antichrist.
I may not know the answer, but do you know what the Greek word for antichrist is?
I don't know if it's anti-Christos. I don't know if that's actually the Greek word or not. I'll find that out for you.
I was just wondering what it is in different languages, if it varies a lot.
Right. I don't have it here. I'll get it for you.
Okay.
Matthew 7:15. Again, beware of false prophets. You guys listening? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You know, as Brian was saying, there are some that are in the church, even now, who they're in sheep's clothing. Oh, this is Brother Billy Bob. He's a strong Christian. You know, he talks just like us. He loves the Lord. But inside, he's a ravenous wolf looking to deceive many. Spurgeon writes this, the spirit of Antichrist has many forms and is present in every age, even now. Everything which robs Christ of His glory is anti-Christian. That's a strong statement there. Everything that robs Christ of His glory is anti-Christian. Another verse, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, John says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Listen to this plea. Guys, listen to this. I want you to all look up here for a second. Some of you are pinching your arms and just pay attention. We need to know this stuff. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe everything you hear. Have a discerning ear. Study. Go home, find out. Do not believe every spirit. But he says, test the spirits. Don't just take for granted what you hear. Even me. You go home and study what I teach you. You make sure. He says, you test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And they're deceiving people. uh, Test means to approve, to discern, to examine. Okay, well, how do you examine something?
With a microscope.
With a microscope, yes, okay.
You study it.
You study it. Okay? When he says test the spirits, you've got to tear it apart. Study it. Line by line what that person told you. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you toss it out and never go listen to him again. Or you go to him and confront him in the Word of God. So how do we do this? How can we test? How can we examine?
You go home and read what they read, and you look over it, and if you have any questions, then you go talk to someone you know that doesn't take everything out of context.
Okay. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's the first thing we need to do to be able to test the spirits. You guys listening? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in Him. Grow in His grace. Grow in His knowledge. Strive to become like Him. Okay? And that means that the Word of God is written on your heart. Well, what did Jesus do? Oh, wow, look what He says here. Okay? And then when it's written on your hearts, and then you hear something that's not right, then the red flag goes up. And you know what? You tell yourself, you know what? That doesn't sound right. I'm going to go home and study that. That just, something's bothering me here. And then you go home and study the Word of God. And you study, you examine it, and you find out, you know what? What that person was saying, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. That's not right. I'm not going to let myself be deceived. Thank you, God. Praise God. Now I need to go to, you know, whoever else heard that and help them. Verse 19. They, meaning these antichrists, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Now this one verse right here, okay, has a lot in it. And it's a pretty just out there verse. Okay, so let's talk about it. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have, the King James adds, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Okay. I want us to turn to John chapter 6. And we're going to read the whole chapter.
John
6. John 6. Regular John 6. Not first. Okay, everyone there? John, just John. Just John chapter 6. Everyone there?
Is the same guy like both of them?
Mm-hmm. Okay, is everyone there?
Yeah.
All right, let's read. I want us to follow along and pay attention because this John chapter 6 has a lot to do with what John is saying about verse 19. Okay? After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were deceased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes And seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, but every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose, because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there, except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Let's stop right there for a second. Why did Jesus say, what was the reason why these people were seeking Jesus?
It was free meal.
Free meal. Okay. Let's continue on, verse 27. "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign then will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you?" Okay, so they're asking, okay, we'll perform a sign so that we can see it and then believe you. "What work will you do?" Verse 31 now. "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Verse 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. Verse 41. The Jews then complained about him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he says that I have come down from heaven? Okay, so they're wondering. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I have come down from heaven. Now they're asking, well, wait a minute. We know his mom and dad. How is it then he came down from heaven? Okay. Verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, Do not murmur among yourselves. Verse 44. Listen to this one. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Okay? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. Okay, so what does Jesus say that they need to do? We need to do in order to have eternal life.
Eat the bread. Eat the bread.
He's saying, okay, let's read it again.
Isn't that what it said?
Then Jesus said to them, Most surely I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. Verse 55. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Okay, verse 60. Therefore, what's important about therefore? Referring to what's just been said. Okay? Therefore, because Christ just said that you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, he'll have eternal life. Okay? Therefore, many of his disciples when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Key word here. Therefore, many of his disciples. Okay, let's remember that. They're saying, this is a hard saying. This is a hard teaching. Who can understand this? Why is Jesus saying that we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood? Okay, verse 61. Everyone follow along. When Jesus knew, he knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. He said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Okay? So, what does Jesus mean by that? The words that I speak to you are spirit. Okay, they're from God, yes. He's speaking to them spiritually. Okay? But what are they thinking in their minds?
Physically.
They're thinking physically, I got to go up to Jesus and take a munch out of him. Hand me your arm. Or, you know, and then drink his blood. That's why they're saying, what in the world? Who can understand this? Okay? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you, that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." Listen to verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Okay, let's continue on. Then Jesus said to the 12, meaning the 12 disciples, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered and said to him, and I love this answer here. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Love that answer. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. Deep stuff in here, okay? Let's go back to verse 60. Okay, he says, therefore, okay, so what did Jesus just tell to this crowd here? What was he teaching that they must do in order to have eternal life?
Eat of his flesh and drink from his blood.
Eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Okay, therefore, many of his disciples, okay, this is key here. Many of his disciples, okay, these are people, okay, who were thought to be Christians. Okay, they're called disciples. Mm-hmm. Are you guys hearing me? Mm-hmm. They're called disciples. They're probably known in the community. Hey, these are Christians. They're disciples. Okay? What does it say about them, though? When many of them heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand this? Okay, because in their minds, they're thinking physically that I must eat Jesus and drink of his blood. When that's not what he's saying. He's speaking to them spiritually. Okay, then listen to this. Verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. Okay, they don't believe. Now listen to this. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him. Okay? From the beginning, they never believed. Why were they seeking him in the first place?
Try and prove them wrong?
No. James, you said it earlier.
Free stuff.
Free food. Okay? Hey, Let's go find Christ. Free food is with Christ. Okay? And Jesus knew from the beginning that they did not believe. Which is probably exactly why he teaches this hard teaching. Okay? Let's go on. Verse 65. And therefore I have said to you that no one can... This is Jesus. No one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Okay, so according to this verse, John chapter 6, verse 65. How does someone come to Christ?
The Father enables him.
The Father enables him, or the Father grants him. Okay? No one can come to Christ unless the Father enables him or grants him or draws him. Okay? Verse 66. From that time of this teaching, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Again, they're being called disciples. Okay? These people are thought to be Christians. I mean, to even be called disciples. But what did they do? They left and they walked with him no more. Okay, so were they really Christians? Which is why Jesus tells us that they, from the beginning, they never believed. Okay, with that in mind, let's turn back to our text. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Referring to many antichrists, okay? And it says, they went out from us. They were from us. They were of us. I thought this was Brother Billy Bob, my good Christian buddy. But was he ever really of us? Listen, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Are you guys hearing this? This is talking about these antichrists who are out there trying to deceive and are deceiving many. So they have gone out from us. If they are with among us, how important is it then that we should know the Word of God? Very. Because they might be close by. And we think it's good old, Brother Billy Bob and his wife May. They're good Christian folk. And one day they might try to come to you. Hey, listen to this. I got a good new teaching here. Oh, really, Billy Bob? What is it? And if you're not discerned, if you don't know the Word of God, guess what? Chances are you might be deceived. Do we want that to happen to us? No. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They never believed. If they had been of us, if they were truly Christians, they were truly our brothers and sisters of Christ, they would have continued with us. If they were truly Christians, truly disciples, they would have continued. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. By them going out, they were manifesting themselves, proving that they were never of us. Okay, so now I want us to look at a few more verses. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Verse 30. Let's start at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Okay? So again, a verse that just shows that, hey, they might be among us. Okay? Flip back to Matthew chapter 7. Starting in verse 21. Okay? Listen to the words of Christ here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For many will say to me, on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Okay, here you have people who are probably thought to be Christians. Probably turn on to a certain TV channel. Okay? And they're doing all these wonderful things for the Lord. I'm a strong Christian. Look what I'm doing for the Lord. Okay? They're declaring to others that, hey, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And yet on that day, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God.